Welcome to the Quartering Podcast for Monday, the 13th of March. First up, Jimmy Kimmel destroyed for Oscar's epic fail called a national disgrace after absurd stunt.
And it is another disastrous Oscars season, and viewership continues to be what we could only really describe as disappearing at the most rapid rate imaginable. Host Jimmy Kimmel, one of the most unlikable characters in the world, getting absolutely dragged on social media over several incidents at the event last night. And by the way, nobody was watching. Viewership in the tank, and also forced to go up against The Last of Us, which even made it worse. Debuting a ridiculous Little Mermaid trailer and about nothing else, has nobody talking about it, and I couldn't be happier. Now, look, you see this article here. People aren't watching the Oscars and other awards show. Increasingly, are they just for elites? Well, yeah. If we look at this article leading up to the Oscars, in recent years, viewership of this ritzy event has plummeted. Statista revealed that a while in 2000, 46 million people watched. Viewership has steadily declined. In 2021, the show hit its lowest amount of viewers it had in two decades at 10.4 million viewers. To me, like, a lot of people are saying, okay, that's more than a 75% decline from its previous numbers. But I'm still shocked it was 10 million. Viewership recovered slightly at 15.36 million in 2022. I mean, that's a 50% increase. I'd say that that's relevant. But it was still much lower than it had been historically. The decadence of the award show may be to blame during a time of economic struggle, but it might also be the prevalence of the award shows and the shift from movie going to streaming. Matthew Gilbert gave two reasons in his article on the subject of the Boston Globe. The Academy Awards come towards the end of a long award season, so it's a possible reason, but other award shows aren't faring well either. This year, the Grammys had their third worst viewership in history. According to Statista, millions of viewers have stopped watching the show, maybe because people are disillusioned with these award shows because old Hollywood glamour is gone. Now Hollywood is giving more and more excess. Well, I mean, quite frankly, this is just the truth of it. You see right here in 2023, the new numbers, in 2023, 12.4 million Americans watched the Grammys. So another drop last year. The figure marked an increase from previous year, but still represented the third smallest TV audience in the history. Third smallest in the history. The Grammy Awards have suffered viewer losses for the better part of a decade. The show's rankings peaked last in 2012 when an estimated 39 million people tuned in to watch music's Biz Ignite. This is the Grammys. Okay, so when you look at the Grammys, that obviously did not go well. And when you look at the Oscars, it's the same thing. If you look at even their numbers from 2022, around 15.36 million people watch the Academy Awards ceremony. Oscars viewership fluctuates year by year. However, last time the ceremony drew a U.S. audience more than 40 million was back in 2014. The figure recorded in 2021 was the lowest yet and marked a drop off of over 50% from just the previous year's audience. Nobody cares about these rich elites. Remember, especially now more than ever, you have all of these people, these wear a mask or you're the worst human on earth. Well, yeah, Colbert, get the poke. You're the worst human on earth. You know, my body, my choice, but not with this. Cram it in there. You know, side effects be danged because Stephen Colbert told you to, or Jimmy Kimmel got up on stage and fake cried about it, or any one of these other late night shills who take Pfizer money, all did. But then Kimmel last night, quote, "One of the worst things I've ever seen. Jimmy Kimmel branded a national disgrace after harassing a survivor of the tally at the 2023 Oscars with awkward question and the Coke Bear stunt. Like, everything they do falls flat. Jimmy Kimmel branded a national disgrace after fans claim he harassed the survivor Malala Yousafzai. During a bizarre Oscars segment, the host, 55, left the Nobel Peace Prize winner, 25, visibly uncomfortable as he approached her during the break in the proceedings. The break of proceedings and asked her an awkward question about Harry Styles and Chris Pine. The presenter read out the question from a fan named Joanne saying, "Hey, she asked, your work on human rights and education for women and children is an inspiring, as it is the youngest Nobel Peace Prize winner in history. Do you think Harry Styles spit on Chris Pine?" Malala looked confused and responded, "I only talk about peace." A breezy Kimmel retorted, "You know what? That's why you're Malala and no one else is. That's a great answer. The winner is Malala Land, everybody." Then the evening took an even further awkward turn as an attendee dressed in a real-life Coke bear from the movie crawled down the island and began to pester Malala. He called out, "Oh, the bear, leave Malala alone." The activist looked on with worry. Malala was a teenage education activist. When the Pakistani Tally hunted her down, they stopped her school bus and gave her face a lead injection back in 2012. She survived and 2 years later won the Nobel Peace Prize. So fans quickly took to social media to slam Kimmel's disrespectful behavior, one writing, "I love Jimmy Kimmel, but his interaction with Malala was one of the worst and most painful things I've ever seen on TV." Another wrote, "I was absolutely horrified with the interaction between Jimmy Kimmel and Malala. Jimmy, you were incredibly disrespectful." One other one writes, "Jimmy is a national disgrace. This woman deserves better." While a second wrote, "Why did Jimmy Kimmel and the bear just harass Malala on TV? Oh my God, leave her alone." Another one, "I hope Jimmy Kimmel pays for making Malala answer that question. She deserves better than that." I mean, the whole thing was absolutely ridiculous. Nothing funnier than the Oscars cutting off a winner, thanking his family for support by cutting to Jimmy Kimmel making bear jokes to Malala. "Kimmel's a joke. That wasn't funny at all." I mean, there's a lot of people. And she replied back, "Treat people with kindness." So she kind of got the last laugh there. But here, viewers savage 2023 Oscars, cheap, dirty champagne-colored carpet, airport Hilton. So even they're trying, the thing is, like, they're trying to not, probably trying to, like, simmer it down a little bit so people don't, you know, call them elitist so much. But it's like, however, armchair pundits were less than impressed with the drastic change, taking it to their turnover, finally getting around to tuning into the Oscars for the red carpet coverage. "WTF is a champagne carpet? No, it looks horrible." Another claimed the carpet made the event look drab, declaring, "Okay, the champagne carpet at the Oscars is terrible. They look like they're attending a corporate banquet at an airport Hilton." The third vexed viewer claimed the color was chosen by closer to boring beige than chic. I mean, I don't really know or care what these losers walk on, but this is like your average Oscars viewer. So even like the woke celebrity obsessed people hate it. You know, they've walked, they tried to shake things up for the first time in 60 years and it absolutely backed things. Obviously, 2023 Oscars users aren't holding back their thoughts on Jimmy Kimmel as a host. For the 95th Annual Academy Awards, late night superstar Jimmy Kimmel was tapped for hosting. "Jimmy Kimmel's delivery is a bit off," wrote Twitter user. "He needs to slow down." The sentiment was echoed by other people who said this host was confused in his delivery. "We need other people pushing Jimmy Kimmel off stage at the Oscars just for fun." Others were not pleased with Jimmy Kimmel's hurtful jokes. While the Oscars never shied away from calling out some of Hollywood's duds, misfires, and bad movies, some viewers thought the comedian's jab at Damien Chazelle's Babylon went too far. "Get Jimmy off the stage, I draw the line at Babylon slander." Shared, "Gonna start Jimmy Kimmel hate train for Babylon diss." Some viewers even went up and suggested that Kimmel bombed her monologue. "Jimmy Kimmel needs to shut up. How many more years must we be subjected to Jimmy Kimmel?" In response to the comedian's Oscar gig, Kimmel also was called by Indian film critics for labeling RRR as a Bollywood production. "I don't need to hear Jimmy Kimmel incorrectly call RRR a Bollywood movie." By the way, yeah, it was a very, very good movie. You know, focus on the movies, not on Kimmel. So everyone basically hates Jimmy Kimmel. And it's not a surprise. He's easily the slimiest, you know, most hateable person on the planet. And ultimately, you just love to see it. As somebody who's outside, like, I was watching old reruns of King of Queens. By the way, show still holds up. Obviously, it's very formulaic, but it does make me laugh. I was watching that and just enjoying myself as the Oscars went on. Nobody cares about, you know, out of desperation, he addressed the slap, and even that wasn't very funny. He admitted that they hired a, quote, crisis team to keep the Academy looking good in case of an emergency, was to get through the evening without distracting unplanned hijinks, like obviously Will Smith. He even talked about, Kimmel did roast the audience about not doing anything, you know, while it was happening, just sitting back and being shocked. What would you expect Hollywood people to do in that situation anyway? Kimmel, who was hosted twice before and runs a generally uncontroversial late night talk show, must have seemed like a safe choice, notwithstanding him having intruded upon Quintina Brunson's Emmy acceptance speech back in September. So, yeah, not a good look. Nobody really cares. Viewership, again, way down, almost certainly a record low. And that's going to continue because it's the Oscars. The Oscars suck. Jimmy Kimmel sucks. Hollywood elites suck. There's nothing good about this show other than laughing at how much of a failure it is. And that's exactly what we do here.
And next up today, Jordan Peterson shocks the internet with bizarre tweets, but then goes full savage mode.
Over the weekend was wild on Twitter. Jordan Peterson making a very spicy mistake, I think, retweeting something that a lot of people are still seeing when their eyes are closed. But then he comes back and like triples down and just starts just going hard, like as hard as I've ever seen, just seeing him just get savage on Twitter. I don't know what's going on with Jordan B. Peterson on Twitter. It's entertaining. Perhaps he's entered a new arc of spice levels. I mean, he used the naughty. He was cursing in his tweets. I've never seen that before. Maybe he's trying to shake things up. But it was a wild weekend if you follow Jordan B. Peterson, including his daughter's reaction. So his daughter, I can't show what he tweeted because it has also been viewed by like a million people since he quote tweeted it. His daughter writes, "Dad, you can't retweet this on Twitter. My eyes will never recover." Now, I don't know, you know, if you saw what it was. It was, I don't even know if I can describe it, okay? It was like what they do to cows, but like a machine that, but with men. He said mistakenly, look, and we've all fallen for it. I'm not going to make fun of him for falling for a tweet or whatever. But some of the other replies to this tweet was, "Love the doc, but this was too much." Some of the cartoon, "Oh my God, I'm losing it." Most of the replies also include other things I can't show. So this article, what did Jordan Peterson tweet? Internet in disbelief as a viral retweet claim sparks wild reactions. Now, we know for a fact the video is not from China, but Canadian psychologist Dr. Jordan Peterson found himself on the Twitter trending page after retweeting a post which contained a controversial video of male milking. The original post appeared to falsely claim that it was a video from the CCP. The clip comes with a caption that read, "What's going on in China? Three children policy? ? And you see Slats here saying, just to be 100% clear, Jordan Peterson just unironically retweeted a video of a male milking dungeon in the UK claimed to be footage of terrible things happening in China. Peterson responded to the original video by quoting the original post. The now deleted tweet from the psychologist reads, "Such fun in unbelievable techno nightmare CCP." As the tweet went viral, social media users pointed out the video reportedly came from a UK-based studio and not China shortly after the account behind the original post apologized for the mistake and wrote, "Sorry, my mistake. I found this video on WeChat, and they said this was a China's collection room for seed. Turns out the studio was from the UK. Meanwhile, Dr. Peterson's daughter, Michaela Peterson, replied to her father saying, "Dad, you can't retweet this on Twitter. My eyes will never recover." While Dr. Peterson quickly deleted his quote tweet, numerous screenshots of his remarks in the controversial clips made their way around online. Dr. Jordan Peterson recently left social media users in shock after quoting a tweet showing an inappropriate video of milking. While the original tweet mistakenly claimed blah, blah, as Peterson's response to the clip went viral, the psychologist deleted his comment. Netizens took rapid screenshots to repost to Twitter to share the reactions. Will Summer writes, not sure I'm ever going to recover from Jordan Peterson tweeting a milking video because he thinks it's a real Chinese government policy. I mean, there's a lot of not great things that happen. But after that, I want to point out too. So like there's been some things that Jordan Peterson's been on a bit of a warpath on Twitter, arguing directly with the Pope. His Holiness had tweeted hashtag social justice demands that we fight and against the causes of poverty. And Jordan Peterson took on the Pope. And this particular tweet, interesting tweet that he replied to as well, writing, demanding prison. So I don't know if this is like Jordan Peterson's super based arc or if he's just having a bad day. Lord knows I know all about that. But here's a tweet also from this weekend from Billboard Chris, who talks about the process of making, you know, the surgical process that biological men go through when they transition, so to speak. And it involves basically, as I said on my live stream this morning, imagine peeling a banana, then throwing the banana away, then inverting the banana skin, and then cramming it up there. That's how they make that for people that transition. So somebody tweeted that it was in fact being done on people who are under 18 in the United States. Now I want to make sure there's not a picture on this. Okay, so there isn't. So I already have to edit a couple of pictures out of this. So you see the doctor says that it is done. And then they have to get dilation done for the rest of their life. I mean, they're talking about these surgeries where, again, most people fall, including myself, is that if you want to do this to your body and you're 18 years old, go ahead. I don't recommend it, but I'm not a doctor. Okay, so I don't know. People get all sorts of weird things done. Tattoos, which is a little bit different. You know, all sorts of body modification stuff. If a doctor wants to do it, I guess. I'm not sure I would call them a doctor, but that's neither here nor there. I think where most people agree is in the fact that we don't want kids getting it done. And, you know, I think the fact of the matter is, you know, the rhetoric around this is getting so much like more inflammatory. But I think the reality is, look, I went through a lot of phases when I was young. You're talking about someone who's feeling a certain way for 5 months, 6 months, and parents can't wait to rush and have their kids have these surgeries done so that they can post it online about what a great hashtag parent, hashtag transparent, whatever they are. And these doctors that are doing this, in my opinion, are committing a crime too. So he finds this video and then he quote tweets prison, which I think is a fine reply to that, especially if they're doing these kind of procedures on people who are young, right? But then he gets even spicier and quote tweets the same tweet and said, it's not a V, it's a hole for another man to F word. And that's that. Like, I mean, he's not wrong. Okay. He's not wrong. All right. But like, I don't know if he's just amping it up. Maybe now that he's with the Daily Wire, is hanging out with Matt Walsh. Matt Walsh has got him spicing things up. You see a lot of this Jordan Peterson Unchained, spicy, but no lies detected. Is he wrong though? I mean, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, he's not wrong. All right. He's not wrong. However, this is extremely spicy for the soft-spoken. You see Jordan Unleashed, Based Peterson, Straight from the Hip. You know, like, that's, you know, like, he's not, okay, I like your tweets again. I mean, he just, I guess, got unleashed over the weekend, decided that he had had enough, that he was going to amp up his language. And I guess I can't blame him. I mean, I think a lot of people on the non-leftist side of Twitter and YouTube and stuff like that have kind of taken up this banner of not being so nice anymore because, well, being nice has led to several losses over the years. And maybe Jordan B. Peterson has picked up that arc. I support him. I don't support, you know, his take about anonymous troll demons. But he has since kind of added some nuance to that. He's added some, some knowledge around what he meant when he talked about getting rid of anonymous people on the internet. You know, certainly anonymity is extremely important online, and it's something that I would fight to keep. However, you know, Jordan Peterson does deal with a lot of it. And, you know, I kind of relate to him on that a little bit. You know, he picks a lot of fights, and then eventually the backlash wears him down, and he needs some time off. And so I definitely relate to that. Now, I would never come back and demand the removal of, anonymity online, but I think he's kind of backed off on that issue. It's been 4 or 5 months since he did that, and I still think that Jordan Peterson does an enormous amount of good. I hope he continues doing what he's doing, and I'm definitely looking forward to the spicy version of Jordan Peterson on Twitter because, he's worth a follow right now.
And next up, The Last of Us blasted by office staff for absurd anti-Christian changes.
Interesting call out Oscar weekend from the former star of The Office, the character that played Dwight, Rainn Wilson, calling out an obvious and, you know, to all of us, the anti-Christian sentiment in Hollywood, in particular in this episode of The Last of Us, which we all saw last week, or many people saw last week. And, you know, The Last of Us is gaining some steam. The show has made several kind of like woke decisions that I guess is just kind of the lock, stock, standard. I think the show is fine. I think it's like above average. It's not like appointment television for me, but I'll probably watch it once through at some point. I watched the first couple of episodes and just was not much was going on. And they wasted an entire episode on a man-on-man romance. But nonetheless, it's good to see someone from within Hollywood calling it out. And the bizarre part is Rainn Wilson is like as far left as it gets. So the Office actor Rainn Wilson declares that there is an anti-Christian bias in Hollywood. Well, certainly if you're watching, you know this. And in fact, it's not even necessarily anti-Christian, but it's like, I'm going to talk about in a little bit, but like there's this like weird satanic worship stuff. Now, I want to stay away from like the satanic panic of what the 80s or whatever that is, but you have, you know, stuff like Sam Smith with his Unholy, Little Nas X with his shoes that have blood in them and a pentagram on them. I mean, this is not something that I'm unfamiliar with, especially with like metal bands in the 80s and the early 90s. You would see this kind of imagery and stuff of that nature. But The Office actor Rainn Wilson declares that there's an anti-Christian bias in Hollywood. He tweets out, "I do think there's an anti-Christian bias in Hollywood. As soon as the David character, he's a pastor, in The Last of Us started reading from the Bible, I knew that he was going to be a horrific villain. Could there be a Bible reading preacher on a show who is actually loving and kind?" 50,000 tweets. Now, this sure is a way to get unpersoned probably in Hollywood. By the way, shout out to a low-key movie that I liked that he was in called The Rocker. I'm not saying it was like the best movie ever, but it's just like good, harmless fun. I think Teddy Geiger is the main character in that movie. Anyway, it's funny and it's wholesome. You see, you know, Kurt saying the best picture of a Christian I've seen in the media is Mr. Rogers. Yes, he was, but I don't know if he was like openly Christian on the show. And there's just lots of people. Firefly, The Expanse, Babylon 5, The Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, some examples of shows with characters who are religious and sincere. But I don't think that's really what he's saying. Yeah, the Book of Eli, I think also is good. But again, not a preacher, not, you know, that kind of thing. And yeah, there are crappy ones. You hear Sean Kent say, hey, maybe they could do a show about Catholic priests and all their fine work with children. Like, I get it. I get it. But like, you read Anti-Christian Bias and thought he was asking for a demonstration. Yeah, there are, you know, those priests need to be out. They can't just keep shuffling them around like they used to. Obviously, I've known a lot of pastors in my life, and all of them were very kind people. And, well, maybe I just wasn't attractive enough for them. I don't know, but it was never an issue. But Rainn Wilson is, I mean, this is coming from a pretty, you know, being in The Office broke his mind. So people are just seething about it, right? Maybe Christians should stop being horrific villains. You know, the Conjuring universe. Maybe. You know, like, I just, everybody in his quote tweets getting so, just causing a complete meltdown. Father Lantum from Daredevil. Sure, they exist. They exist. But I do think it's funny how just there's so much seething in these comments. But you see, I'm glad that Rainn Wilson is publicly acknowledging this. Entertainment impacts our culture, and there's tons of good pastors and faith leaders that would be inspirational and moving on the big screen. Well, I would say this. Now, I don't know if it's, you know, Christianity and religious films and stuff like that. They actually do quite well. You have a guy like, you know, Kevin Sorbo has his stuff. Why can't I think of the other one? Kirk Cameron has his stuff. Christian families love their Christian like messaging and stuff like that. But this stuff is not a part of Hollywood. It's separate from Hollywood and like self-funded, by the way. Look, there are bad people of all religions, but like, look at Hollywood and ask yourself, you know, which side they're going to prevent. You see this article in New York Post. Rainn Wilson calls out anti-Christian bias in Hollywood after the Last of Us episode. I knew he was a villain. Others agreed with Wilson's criticism and pointed out how The Last of Us was hardly the first example of Hollywood's anti-Christian bias. Defamation of Christians has become the most unoriginal and tired cliches in movies and TV series. Its prevalence is much more than bias against an entire people. It's meant to undermine faith and position the secular-minded as only ones with the altruistic intentions. Libre Initiative President Daniel Garza remarked. New Christendom Press CEO wrote, "Go back to Mr. Collins and Austin's Pride and Prejudice. The preacher man has always been portrayed in a negative light. Also true of Hollywood today." Here's another quote. "I lean left, but The Last of Us still made me roll my eyes quite a few times with this Hollywood nonsense. Had to stop watching." Medium writer Sean Kenman, an actual critic. EV Magazine founder Brittany Martinez wrote, "As soon as the pastor started reading the Bible, I knew he was going to be awful. I was like, watch this guy be David the creepy cannibal from the video game. And then it was. Shocked, surprised, never seen it before. He wasn't a pastor in the video game." So that's kind of part of the what you're talking about, the biases here, right? Like, it isn't necessarily that he was a bad guy, but they went out of their way to make him a Christian and a pastor. Like, they didn't have to do that. But they're like, wouldn't it be funny if we disparaged Christianity and pastors again? Wouldn't that make it hit harder? Wouldn't that be more interesting? I think that that's an extraordinarily valid point to point out, that they went out of their way. Indeed, making Christians a bad guy in the show is a norm nowadays. Christian writer Eric Stetzer tweeted, "We've known this for a long time," Rain. Recording artist Sean Fuchs wrote. Wilson has previously promoted left-wing issues on his Twitter account. In November, he announced efforts to change the name on social media platforms to Rainfall, Heatwave, Extreme Winter Wilson, as he tried to promote climate activism. Yeah, I mean, I think he is a lefty, but like, I think you can still look at things from a, you know, an unbiased perspective, especially when we have things like this, you know. Lil Nas's X unofficial Satan Nikes containing human blood sell out in under a minute. I mean, I just don't even understand. This is what you get from Hollywood, right? Now, I am not offended by this. I don't care. They were priced $1,000 a pair. I mean, truly satanic, I suppose. And it was $1,018 a pair, a reference to the biblical passage, Luke 10:18, that reads, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Each shoe's air bubble sole contains 60 cubic centimeters, 2 full ounces of red ink, and a single drop of human blood. I mean, this is what people are paying for. This is what people get, you know, articles. Sam Smith with his, like, all of his imagery and all this kind of stuff. All the things we hear about, you know, what Hollywood people do behind the scenes. You know, I think that it's probably not really that surprising that they don't care for Jesus. There's a lot of people, you know, there are atheists out there. There are agnostic people out there. But then there's like the atheist people who think they're super smug. Like, I don't know how many of you people were around my videos back then, but there was a thing in 2015, 2016 in the atheism community where like suddenly atheism became a new religion. And it attracted leftism and leftists, and they came into that movement and completely destroyed it. This in Hollywood, you know, promoting, mocking being religious, calling people who are religious like simple and thinking they're unenlightened, is ridiculous. But this is the norm in Hollywood. So good on you, Rainn Wilson. I guess rest in pepperonis your career. But I'm happy he said it, so kudos to him.
And next up, Brie Larson fires back at Diva claims as The Marvels is set to be the biggest flop in Marvel history.
It's been an interesting weekend of news. I'm not sure why Captain Marvel / Brie Larson or The Marvels have been in the news so frequently, randomly, because the movie's not coming out until November, and there's certainly several other Marvel movies that are just more important / bigger. Between now and then, Guardians of the Galaxy being one of them. But for whatever reason, there's all sorts of rumors leaving that Brie Larson was fighting with people on set and her not getting along with her co-stars. And, well, it's totally believable. But now it would appear she's striking back, addressing those said rumors. But the media is already preparing for the movie to be a flop, which is really bizarre to me that you'd come out and admit defeat. But right ago, published one day ago, don't blame wokeness when the Marvels fail. I wonder why. I wonder if they already know that the Marvels is going to be an epic disaster. I think it's pretty interesting. Sooner or later, the MCU is going to have its first failure. Well, I think Ant-Man was a failure. I think the Eternals was a failure. I believe probably the original Hulk movie with Edward Norton was a failure. They've definitely had failures. So let's not pretend that there aren't any in the past. Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania has gotten poor reviews. The first time screenwriter says these reviews are wrong, by the way, and had a significant drop off at the box office, but that makes it a flop, not a failure. DC has a array of movies that actively cause the company to lose hundreds of millions of dollars, but for Marvel, it's just a matter of smaller profits. However, patience is running out, and all signs are pointing to the Marvels being the one that is taking the hit. We need to adopt the brace position for the ice cold takes about wokeness run amok. Well, certainly Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness making $1 billion would disprove that. I mean, there is interest. Spider-Man makes $1 billion. Multiverse of Madness, $1 billion. Thor, although muted, was $600-700 million, I think. So go woke, go broke is a phrase that has proven to be meaningless. Oh, well, if thegamer.com says so. It was used for Black Panther and Captain Marvel, which grossed $1.3 billion and $1.1 billion. I wish, oh my God. Yes, right. And they were both required viewing for the biggest movie in the franchise history. And, you know, let's pretend that, you know, let's just ignore that fact. I wish I was that broke. When The Mandalorian cut ties with Gina Carano was thrown around too, Mando's still going strong, and his star Pedro Pascal is raking in millions from both that role and the lead of The Last of Us. We don't know anything about viewership of The Mandalorian in this most recent season, do we? So we don't know. maybe viewership did drop. I'm not watching it anymore. And I could probably guarantee you there's at least 50,000 other people in this YouTube space that are not interested in watching The Mandalorian anymore. Now, did they pick up 100,000 other new viewers by getting rid of her? That I don't know, because Disney doesn't publish those numbers. But again, just because the stars get paid, that has zero reflection on whether or not people actually saw the movie. Still, it refused to die. Anytime the product said that a few influential reactionaries somewhere decide is woke, that old song plays on the piano again. Well, let's look at this. There are a variety of other factors that could spell danger for the Marvels. However, firstly, Marvel fatigue is eventually going to kick in, and these past few months have been draining. I have faith in Jonathan Majors that can ground the next few big phases as the big bad, but less faith Marvel can give him in the platform for that, especially when the writer of Ant-Man 3 is also penning the next Avengers movie. The fatigue is retroactive, too. While the point of television arc was to offer more ways to immerse yourself in the world, people have mostly dipped in and out of the TV universe. I keep up with them for work, but it does kind of feel like work at this point. My wife comes to me with each movie and has an enjoyable enough time, but the only show she's stuck with was WandaVision. To understand the Marvels, though, you need to understand that a tertiary character in WandaVerse, Maria Rambeau, but also recall Captain Marvel's own movie, Big Ask, when Marvel throws four of them at you a year, as well as a completely different show, Miss Marvel. But I thought this was going to be a huge success because strong independent women don't need no man. I don't expect, quote, wokeness itself to play a part, but I do expect it to be blamed. With Brie Larson especially, there's always swirling controversy concocted out of nothing. She's a pretty white nerd who plays video games. It's staggering to me that she's become public enemy number one for chuds. I love Brie Larson. Again, you're tuned in to the number one Brie Larson fan channel on the internet, so I don't know exactly what they're talking about. But it's been shown in the past how people will make noise for her. I don't expect this alone will tank it, but the Marvels will likely struggle for traction as it feels so separate from the wider story given the recent history. We're unlikely to give it the benefit of the doubt. With audience blasé, a major talking point could end up being that the weird corner of the internet that hates Brie Larson. I love Brie Larson, so I don't know if this author is clearly not talking about me. Then there are other two factors, that the women cast members are women of color, and neither have box office leading pedigree. It's extremely easy to see why the loudest voices will point their fingers and depressing to think that they'll be listened to. It will not be Tiana Paris nor Iman Vellani if the Marvels flop. But they will be blamed, and I fear it will cause the Marvel to rethink that won't mean slowing down, getting back to character-driven stories, or making phasers of major events that constantly keep the ball rolling endlessly towards them. It will be to stop taking chances of on women of color. Look, I'm going to be on record right now. There's nothing offensive or like inherently negative about Tiana Paris or Iman Vellani. I don't think I saw a lot of videos saying, oh, look at this crazy woke thing this person said, or look at this crazy thing Monica Rambeau's character or actor said. I don't think they really carry a lot of negativity around with them. So I don't think that you can blame them in particular. What you can blame is Marvel trying to force it too hard. Why isn't it called Captain Marvel 2? It's like we saw this a mile away when it was Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, when you could have just called it Harley Quinn. They even scrambled after that first week at the box office and were changing the posters and changing the marquees to say Harley Quinn because nobody knows what Birds of Prey was. And so you're going to end up with the exact same thing. Remember when The Eternals came out and was a complete box office flop? They crammed 10 diverse characters into a 2.5-hour movie, all 10 of them nobody really knew anything about, and they were surprised when no one bought into the movie. They're going to have a little bit of this. Brie Larson herself has a strong fandom, myself included. She also has cachet as Captain Marvel. You have now removed Captain Marvel from the title and made it another generic thing called The Marvels. And unless the movie is like absolutely amazing, like a perfect 95 out of 100 by non-biased reviewers, people aren't going to go out of the way to see another movie. People who liked Captain Marvel won't even necessarily look at that title and think that it's the sequel. This on top of all the diva-like behavior that people, but now scoopers defend Brie Larson against right-wingers and incels. A lot of problems are being said about the Marvels movie from multiple sources. Scoopers come to defend to the defense, sorry, of both Brie Larson's and the Marvel movie. Recently has seen reports, multiple sources, that the Marvels are in big trouble after its release date pushed back 5 times. Rumors that offered the reason the latest release delay for the Marvels is to give the flick more time in post-production, with it then reported the film tested poorly in test screens with audiences, said by at least 2 different sources, including feminist Grace Randolph. Then it was said that they were refilming things, involved fixing the 3rd act of the film, and removing goofy content as a result of the failure of Ant-Man and Wasp and Quantumania. Again, I could believe that. I've said too many jokes in these movies. You can't get serious about anything if everybody's joking or they're cramming member berries down your throat all the time. The latest about the problems from Marvel's facing with the movie is a big report from Jeff Snyder, who says that Brie Larson is causing problems with the movie as she's not getting along with co-star Teyana Paris, and also that Brie Larson doesn't like the Marvels, is not titled Captain Marvel 2. That second part felt weird because she obviously would have known about that for a very long time. However, Casey Walsh, who uses pronouns and is apparently has multiple Twitter accounts, with his latest account described as an alt account when his main gets suspended for talking junk to right-wing lunatics, said he heard nothing good or bad about the Marvels and goes so far as to say that ist and phobe YouTubers are to blame, including Jeff Snyder, with another blaming Twitter incels, writing, quote, "Again, I've heard nothing negative about this production. The movie has gotten more positive praise from tests than other MCU films this year. Ist and phobe YouTubers use Larson as a way to garner favor with other ists and phobes, and this person is no different." So another random anonymous tweet. You hear The Watcher saying, "Now the second person defending Brie Larson comes from a new scooper on Twitter who actually recently said there were problems on the movie regarding the 3rd act and removing goofier content. The report about Brie Larson being difficult on set of the Marvels is absolutely false. She's looking forward to the sequel being a team up." But again, these people don't actually have any connections. They don't know any of this stuff. It's funny to me. It's going to flop. It's going to be a great click economy for YouTubers. But hey, maybe the movie will be great. Maybe. But it's clearly not for me. Like, having Imnan, whatever her name is, and Monica Rambeau and Brie Larson, this is for women. It's a movie that they clearly set out to make for women, and that's okay. Just not for me. But I do look forward to covering it and maybe watching it on some streaming platform when it comes out.
And last up today, outed grooming and her children got threatened by trans activist TikTok star Jeffrey Marsh.
And many of you have reached out on Twitter to bring a particular story to my attention where a comedian with nearly 7 million plus followers on TikTok has essentially had her life turned upside down. People are damaging her car, sending her emails with like pictures of her kids, sending her emails about the time she leaves her house, the time that she their kids would be alone. And it's absolutely appalling. This story, which is just kind of hitting YouTube now, gender critical and conservative social media users have rallied behind TikToker Shamirunessa, for her videos criticizing non-binary TikToker Jeffrey Marsh. Now, Jeffrey Marsh is a guy that you've seen many videos of before, where, at least in my opinion, he is targeting young ones with his gender ideology. And he is, in my opinion, not a good influence. United Kingdom-based user Nessa stitched a video of her fellow TikToker where she accused them of encouraging children to privately message them on their account and Patreon, another platform for content creators. So what Nessa did was say, hey, bro, it looks like you're perhaps a bit of a groomer. Why are you having kids message you? And all this is culminating in basically a heartbreaking video. Let's see here. It comes amid a clash between conservatives and defenders of LGBTQ rights in the United States, around 26 states. So I don't care about any of that stuff. I care about the situation. Now, the February 22nd video begins with Marsh saying that through gritted teeth in one of their TikToks, stop telling trans people that we're inspirational. Nessa stitched the video, a TikTok user, a feature where they could combine their video with another user's video and mimic the style of speaking. Stop telling kids to go to your Patreon and chat with you privately without your parents knowing, Nessa said in the video, which has 4.6 million views at the time of writing. She captioned the post, to all parents and guardians, please be careful and keep your munchkins safe. Newsweek did not see a video in which Marsh specifically addresses people to message him, but in one video, they do say, your parents screwed up, before going on and explain, that's why I made a Patreon, so we could talk about it. So precisely, he is saying that, so that we could connect in a way of more, that in a way that has, okay, let me read his statement, you tell me. This is what this guy said to kids. Your parents screwed up, before going on and explain, that's why I made a Patreon, so we could talk about it, so that we could connect in a way that has more privacy, so we can talk to each other in a way that's more open. Neither Marsh nor Nessa responded to comments for Newsweek. Marsh, who is a non-binary person, advocates who runs blah, 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 blah. Jeffrey is a best-selling author, viral TikTok Instagram star, non-binary activist, and keynote speaker. Well, as far as I could tell, they also went through their TikTok history recently and deleted a bunch of videos. You know, that's not normally what people do when they're not in the wrong, but that's neither here nor there, I guess. They also created an exclusive content on Patreon, a subscription model website for content creators. Subscribers must say they are 18 to access the account to subscribe to it, but it's not clear whether that was changed after Nessa's new viral video about them showed up. Nessa followed up with an original video with a TikTok saying that she was not transphobic and that had received Islamophobic hate. She is Muslim and wears a hijab in her videos. I hope this clears up some things. Also, I made this video not because they are trans. I would have created the same video for anyone who's trying to go after kids, period, she captioned her video. In her second video, Nessa addressed some of the backlash in Marsh's content does not target kids, but editing a series of their videos that start... In the second video, Nessa addressed some of the backlash that Marsh's content does not target kids by editing in a series of their videos that actually started with "Hi, kids." She also added the clip from February 10th, in which Marsh encourages those whose parents screwed up to get in touch via Patreon. Marsh does not single out kids in the video, never mentions people of a certain age. Nessa then shared images of some content on Marsh's Patreon. In one video, they give advice on how to go non-contact with an unsupportive family member. So essentially saying, hey, this is how you get away from your family. In another video, they discuss topics of hooking up. Nessa then brought up a list of what she said were the telltale signs of a person being groomed, in which that includes isolating them from their family. Nessa wrapped up her TikTok with another of Marsha's video, where they invited people who are not able to spend the holidays with their family to join them over a massive festive period, saying, I'm going to be your family. Again, in the video, Marsh does not single out youth or direct invitation to minors. Well, who uses TikTok, right? Support for Nessa came quickly from her defenders on social media, where gender-critical people have said she was protecting children. Those who are gender-critical believe that, you know, biology matters. She stood her ground, and she got an unfathomable amount of hate, and she stood her ground. This is what protecting kids looks like. A million props to this brave lady, but one person on Twitter. Another person tweeted, question, does anyone know if Jeffrey Marsh has any professional qualifications, either in psychiatry or psychotherapy? What is the framework of safeguarding on the advice he's giving to vulnerable kids? Has his work been authorized or recognized on any professional bodies? Just days after Nessa went viral, a school in the United Kingdom reportedly sent an email to parents warning them to shield them from their children from Marsh's content. By the way, good job. The letter was shared on TikTok by a woman who said that she was a mother of a child at that school. According to her, it tells parents to please be aware of Marsh and the content that he is creating. Whilst the internet and social media can be a wonderful thing, it does pose a huge risk to kids. Can I take this opportunity to remind you to ensure you have correct internet restrictions on your child's devices? Blah, 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 blah. BBC journalist Dominic Samuels shared the woman's video on TikTok and said that it had been shared the video on Twitter and said that it had been removed from TikTok before being reinstated. Newsweek was not able to independently verify anything. But this is what now, this was tweeted out yesterday. This is what's happening. The comedian who made videos revealing Jeffrey Marsh for his grooming is now getting threats sent to her with the details about when her daughters go to and from school. This is what happens when you expose these people. It's absolutely sick.
So I just got an email saying pretty much a threat saying I know they know where I live. And what scares me the most is they have got my daughter's details on the email, like what time I leave to drop them to school, pick them up. And it's not a coincidence because both of my daughters, they go to two different schools, so they know. They've given the school details and everything, so...
This is on top of, by the way, her car being vandalized. This is for her revealing. This is the left, right? This is for her revealing that this guy was a monster.
Yeah, my daughters are involved now in this. As some of you might know that my car was damaged in this whole thing. I was getting not very nice videos and now emails with a lot of details on that email, so I don't want to do anything. I'm not going to talk about Jeffrey Marsh. I've deleted everything, removed it. If you guys want to go ahead, but please don't come to my house. Do you just get on with your life, I'll get on with mine. You guys want me to say I'm sorry, fine, I'm sorry. Please don't come at me, don't come to my house, don't do anything with me, because I'm just one person, and specifically 4 or 5 of you have.
So this is a mother whose kids have now been put in the crosshairs because she put out a video revealing the truth around this individual who was clearly cultivating, at least according to her, it would seem that there's at least some evidence that he was setting up some sort of grooming. I don't really know any other way to describe it. When you're talking about, hey, come talk to me privately. Hey, I've got this safe space. Here's how to get away from your family. She's 100% in the right. Now, I'd follow her if I use TikTok, but it's at The Real Overload Comedy. And, I 100% support her. And I'm sorry that she feels like she has to back down now. But when somebody's going after your kids, what are you supposed to do? I hope that she passes all these things off to the police. I'm 100%. If you follow her, let her know that, I can be a resource. I can help fund. I'll be happy to fund, get a GoFundMe going or a GiveSendGo for legal expenses to find these people. I've certainly dealt with my share of psycho stalkers. So, I'm here for her if she needs it. And hopefully that everyone will share this video and we'll have a bit of a Streisand effect. So leave a like on the video, make sure you share it, put it on Twitter, Facebook, wherever. And, I hope that I hope I can earn your subscription. Leftism Free Rights, can we find a way to help her out? Shouldn't have to live in fear. It's scary. It's these people are lunatics. But it must be work. The work must be done. So, yeah, Jeffrey Marsh, I wonder why he deleted so many videos. I wonder why Patreon platforms a guy who says, "Hey, kids, message me privately." Stay strong, and we'll do, you know, I'm available. I know my viewers would help you. So if someone can get this message to her, I'd be happy to, or I would appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed this video. We'll talk to you again real soon.